listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's going to be a fun day today because we have our maybe favorite special guest.
It is the favorite.
It's our favorite special guest.
Sorry, special guest.
Brie Garzewski in studio. Thanks for joining us, Brie.
It's good to be here.
That means that it's a radio theater today.
Yep.
I'm so excited.
We love it.
Yeah.
We love to see it.
And we should tell people that you're back in the building.
I'm back in the building working for Synod.
Yeah. It's so exciting.
We
get to see your face every day.
The prodigal has returned.
That's what we should have done today.
Well, let me tell you. Listen. No one saw this coming. I'm just going to be clear. Nobody.
That's true.
No, I didn't.
I didn't.
Surprise.
So it's going to be labeled as like my Rumspringa. Like I'm just my 2.5 year sowing of wild oats. And this was the plan all along. I think that's what helps me get through it.
Yep.
This is the plan all
was
along.
Was it your plan or God's plan or both?
It wasn't mine. I'll tell you that. It was not mine.
Here we are.
It's always God's plan, though. Let's be real.
Well, I think that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of Advancement is a better place for having you in it. So I'm glad
sure
that you're
hope
there.
So.
Certainly happier. There's more humor.
More color.
With it.
A little levity.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
For sure. I'm happy to. That's a service I happily provide.
That's good. It's a very good thing.
It's very good. So, it's radio theater today.
It's radio theater today.
What did you cook up for this time?
So,
I'm so excited.
I really had a great time writing the We Three Kings of Orientar.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Radio theater. And so I was like,
road tripping with Trish.
I was working with Sarah on this.
That was so fun.
As I was working with Sarah on some ideas, she was like, you could do another Bible story. I'm like, heck yeah. Mm. So what better way to dive back into the Bible than, so to speak, exactly.
We're diving in.
Than one of the weirdest, zaniest stories from the Bible. The story of Jonah.
I love this story so much.
It's bananas bonkers. And so what better way to celebrate this than to make a radio theater out of it?
I'm here for it.
I am also here for it.
Yeah.
This will be a version of the Jonah story that nobody has encountered before.
VeggieTales could never.
We will provide text from Scripture, and also we'll be putting God's words directly as they are in Scripture for the sake of reverence. But every other character has been translated into Breezy.
We'll see, though, if you can really tell which ones have been translated.
Correct.
This is your challenge, listeners.
You'll be quizzed later.
Yeah. Mm. Listen closely.
Is it Brie or is it not?
Is it Brie or the Bible?
Brie or the Bible?
That's a terrifying prospect.
That's a terrifying game show.
Let's not play that.
That's a terrifying game show.
All right. Shall we begin?
Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Jonah 1:1-3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord.
Scene 1. The Call. It was the year 782 BC. Or 753 BC. It was somewhere in there. We'll just pick a year. Start over. It was the year 768 BC. It was a time of war, strife, and geopolitical intrigue. It was a time before Uber Eats and Wi-Fi and even 56K dial-up internet and America Online. Anyway, there lived a prophet named Jonah. God had a job for him. And God said,
"Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me."
Nineveh? Ew, no thanks. Have you seen their rating on TripAdvisor? Look, 1 star, 2 stabby. They definitely tried to eat my dog. Do not, I repeat, do not come here, ever.
"Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me."
Hard pass. I'm going to Tarshish. Look at this brochure I picked up. Beautiful beaches, zero prophecy gigs, tropical drinks with those little umbrellas in them. And that's where I'm going now. Deuces!
So Jonah bought a one-way ticket on a shady cruise line.
Jonah 1, verses 4 through 6. "But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.'"
Scene 2, The Storm.
Welcome aboard the SS Shady Seagull. I'm your spiritual cruise ship expert, Captain Trish. In case of emergency panic, that's our only protocol.
Perfect. Wake me up when we get to our port of call.
Jeez Louise, the storm is insane. It's batten down the hatches or something. Man the prow and gibber the mast or whatever. Other boat words. Someone must have angered the gods.
Fine. It was me. Throw me overboard. It's cheaper than Dramamine.
Wait, what? Seriously?
Yeah, I'm a runaway prophet. I worship God who controls all of this.
Boo!
I know. My bad. Just yeet me into the sea. I promise the storm will die down if you drop me like dead weight.
Okay. First of all, you're weird. Second of all, you're gonna die. Third of all, may God not punish us for your life. Let's give this man the old heave-ho, fellas. Man overboard!
Jonah 1:17. "And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
Scene 3. Inside the fish. So Jonah was swallowed by a giant fish, because nothing weird happens in the Bible. Ever.
"Hey there, cool cat. Welcome to my stomach. Mind the kelp and stay a while. And don't make a campfire in my mouth like that wooden boy did to me last week."
Are you talking?
"Well, I'm not burping, daddy-o. You're in here for 3 days. We do brunch on Thursdays."
Fine. Doesn't look like there's much to do around here but self-reflect and talk to God.
"Would you mind first picking a pesky wad of krill from between my teeth?"
"You mean this one?"
No, more to the left.
"Here? close. Go right.
What about this?
My right.
Oh, sorry.
Up just a titch.
What's a titch?
A couple cubits, a hand breadth. I read it in a book somewhere.
Oh, this?
Oh, baby. Now that's what I'm talking about.
Ugh, gross. Anyway, God, I'm sorry. I should be dead right now, but you've spared my life, and that's because of who you are. A God of mercy who spares all who repent. I will go to Nineveh. I will tell them of your steadfast love.
Well, alrighty then. New orders from on high. Time for a little holy uppity chuckity, if you know what I mean. Catch you on the flip side, Joe.
And the fish violently vomited Jonah onto dry land. It was pretty sick, both in the good and bad way.
Jonah 2:1-9. And Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah 3:1-2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.
Scene 4. Nineveh.
Fine. Let's get this over with. People of Nineveh, you're horrible. Stop it or you're gonna get smote. Smited? Smatten? In 40 days, you're gonna get overthrown if you don't get it together, okay?
Friends and neighbors, we must turn from our sinful ways.
Let me get that sackcloth, though.
If this is truly our redemption arc, perhaps God will turn from his anger and spare us.
Dude, check it out! The king himself is about to make an announcement!
By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, even the most delicious of pizzas. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with itchy, ugly sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his cracked, calloused, mangled hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish.
So the people of Nineveh repented. By order of the king, the Ninevites were called to prayer and fasting and repentance, and God forgave them and relented from the destruction he had planned.
Wait, what? That worked?
But Jonah, he was big mad.
And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who knows, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry.
Scene 5. The Pouty Prophet.
Wow, God, I knew you'd forgive them. I just knew it. This is why I went to Tarshish in the first place. These people are literally the worst, and you just up and forgave them. You're too nice. I wanted fireworks, divine judgment, a smiting montage.
And God said,
"Do you do well to be angry?"
Yes, I do well to be angry.
Now, while Jonah sat around spitefully like a total soggy sourpuss,
hey,
and waited to see if God would, in fact, send a little fire and brimstone down on Nineveh, God caused a green plant to grow up next to him, Jack and the Beanstalk style.
Whatever, man. I'm just going to sit under this really, really nice shade and take a nap.
So Jonah slept. The next morning, God sent a worm to chew into the plant so that it withered.
My shade!
Then God sent a blasting east wind. The heat was scorching, making Jonah faint and miserable.
Ugh, it's so hot, God. Where'd my plant go? Why don't you just want me to be happy?
And God said,
"Do you do well to be angry for the plant?"
Yes, I do well to be angry. I'm angry enough to die even.
And God said,
"You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?"
And here ends the drama and digestion of the prophet Jonah, and the divine patience of God, to whom salvation belongs, who answers you in your time of distress, and who brings up your life from the pit, even if you live a sad, cow-free existence. Wait, that's it? But what happened to Jonah? Did he die of spite in the desert? It would kind of serve him right if he did. Did he learn his lesson? Go home and tell his grandchildren fish stories about all his aquatic adventures? Stay and plant a synagogue in Nineveh? What happened next? Is this really how the story ends? Oh. Well, then the end, I guess. Or maybe to be continued?
Matthew 12, verses 38 to 41. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But Jesus answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here."
There it is. Masterful.
Bree, you didn't give yourself enough lines.
Oh, really?
You gave yourself enough characters.
Listen.
Like six characters.
This is the Bible. Let the Bible. Let the words speak for itself. I'm just here to be a little funny.
Well,
no,
surpassed that.
Just a little funny.
Thank you for helping us see this story with fresh eyes. Because we're prone to get a little, I don't know, not fresh. It feels sort of stale, like we've all heard it before. But you're right, it's a weird story. But Christ references it and ties it to his own death and resurrection. So, like, we're supposed to pay attention here.
Of all the stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all the stories.
Of all the stories.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the sign of, you know, Joseph or the sign of David and Goliath. It was the sign of Jonah.
Love it.
So we need to revisit it, and we need to revisit it in a way that makes us, like, sit up and pay attention.
There's a lot more stories like that.
And that's what this does.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yep.
To be continued. and also much cattle? And also much cattle?
I am living a sad, cow-free existence. It is so sad.
So much cattle.
I need a cow.
I also would like a cow.
I want one of those fuzzy, cute ones.
The little tiny ones?
Yes.
Little Scottish Highland cows.
Correct.
They are very cute.
Follow me around everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I want for myself.
Mm-hmm. So cute. Bring your pet to work day. You'll bring a cow.
Heck yeah, brother. That's what I'm talking about.
Nineveh, 1-star review, 2 stabby, but also much cattle.
But also much cattle?
Also much.
I would give 5 stars, but it's too stabby. There was so much cattle, but too stabby.
Too stabby.
Otherwise, it would be 5 stars. This was a sufficient amount of cattle. One might say too much. But I like that on a vacation.
Yeah, many cattle. Well, you know, those little cute shaggy ones, they got horns. They could be doing the stabbing. Could be the stabby cattle.
True.
Stabby cattle.
It's true.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is the strangest story. On, like, all along the way, it never goes the way you would expect. And you're right, it does get, we know it so well that we stop thinking about how weird it is.
Yeah.
And so it's good to be reminded.
Yes.
And I really want to end the story with the, you know, whole Nineveh repents. Yay, they all live happily ever
and
after.
Instead, it gets weirder.
Yeah.
Jonah's kind of a jerk, you guys.
He is.
He's kind of a jerk.
Ugh.
He throws a total temper tantrum. And the truth is that, you know, later on, Nineveh was destroyed. The people, like, unrepented or something. Like,
they backed out of that deal.
Yeah.
Fix, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a reprieve because it turns out when you call to God and repent and ask him to save you, he does.
Mm-hmm. He does.
He's cool like that.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
Totally. I love this poetry in this prayer of Jonah, and it brought me totally to the tomb of Christ. Looking at verse 5 here, weeds were wrapped about my head, the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit. Like, remembering back to our, you know, Peter and John at the tomb radio theater.
Yeah.
But he was wrapped up in grave clothes, and he folded the cloth over his face. Like, it couldn't hold him. Ah.
Beautiful.
So by looking at this story with fresh eyes, we also get to look at the Easter story with fresh eyes. So it's a win-win all around.
For sure.
It's true.
Good it's times.
True. Thanks for this, Bree.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We love having you back on for our radio theaters.
Of course.
It's super fun.
I can't wait for the next one.
Cannot wait.
I'm already writing it, probably.
Awesome.
Probably only.
Awesome.
Definitely, not definitely, but probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Hey, if you guys have ideas for what story you think Bree should tackle,
yes.
You should let us know.
Yep.
Get in the comments, fam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We want to know.
I'd be happy to take requests.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be fun.
Love it.
You can do that in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge. Let us know what you think. Or on our Instagram at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can find all of our podcasts at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
Come on.
And I'm Rachel.
Do it.
And also much cattle.
We now return you to your regularly scheduled sad cow-free existence.
No cattle.
Awesome.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.
Nineveh? Ew, no thanks. Have you seen their rating on TripAdvisor? Look, 1 star, 2 shabby.
It's stabby. You better say that right.
I saw that as soon as I read it. Back it up.
Take two.
You better. Hey there, cool cat. Welcome to my stomach. Mind the kelp and stay a while. And don't make a campfire in my mouth like that wooden boy did to me last week.
We gotta pause.
It's keep it together, Erin. We're acting here.
It's the thing in Nightmare Before Christmas from New. Have you guys seen that movie?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no!
Not in years.
What?
It's the thing
spaghetti
from
monsters?
The New Orleans. What is it?
Louis Armstrong?
No, what's happening now?
Can we start with "Hey there, cool cat"? Because I think Erin giggled over that entire speech.
Do you want me to just redo it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.